The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you? Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you here. Very nice to be able to see one another eyeball to eyeball.
I always like eyeballing you, Kathy.
Yes. Ambassador Friedman, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, apparently he's made a deal with the Gaza Strip.
Okay, so what he has said, and this was addressing American Jewish leaders last night, is that he said that any kind of deal that involves Gaza has to involve the Palestinian Authority. And the reason is this. He says that even though there are negotiations underway at the moment with Egypt, with Hamas, with Israel regarding a ceasefire or Hudnah or Hafsakat Esh or whatever you decide to call it, it must involve the Palestinian Authority. He says to discount the involvement of the Palestinian Authority is a win for Hamas. It hands over total control to Hamas. And it's very interesting at the moment because we have Fatah, which is the political party which Mahmoud Abbas heads and runs the West Bank, and we have Hamas, who are in a power play for control of the Gaza Strip. Hamas, you know, whether we like them or not, are the elected officials who are basically given the green light to run the Gaza Strip and not the Palestinian Authority. However, the Palestinian Authority do want more control and more influence over the Gaza Strip, and they have been withholding payments, they've been withholding electricity because they want to have more involvement. So this is that other element into the very complicated poiki that we have in the Middle East, and that is that the relations between the two representatives of the Palestinian people are very, very fractured at the moment.
And he also seems to be a very active ambassador, because there you have the Israeli government in the process of negotiations with Hamas, or I don't know if it's direct or not, via some intermediary, and Friedman saying no.
Well, he's giving his opinion. The Palestinian Authority, and it's a very interesting comment coming from him, because the Palestinian Authority at the moment do not want to have anything to do with the Trump administration or any of their representatives. So I don't know if it's perhaps his way of trying to soften the language or create an opening for the Palestinian Authority to come to the stage. So we've got a very, very interesting musical diplomacy happening in the Middle East right now, because we've got the Trump administration withholding funds to the Palestinians. We've got the Trump administration now cutting off all funding to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency. And we have the language coming out now that they are going to be taking the right of return off the negotiating table, which is a major factor in this ongoing conflict. So it's almost like a game of chess played very, very diplomatically, but not quite as diplomatic as the cricket earlier on.
So listen, Rolene, if one looks at the concessions, right, that the Arabs have had to make, what do you think the concessions are that Israel will have to make? Because these are very big concessions on their part.
Well, I think this is more coming from, the way Israel sees it is Israel has had to make the concessions time and time again. And I think the Trump administration, this is their tactic to force the Palestinians to the negotiating table. If you are not going to make certain concessions, we're going to withhold the money, we're going to hit you where it hurts, and we're going to force you to the negotiating table. Trump has a very different tactic than his predecessors or anybody else who has been engaged in trying to negotiate peace. He sees it more from a business perspective, and his perspective is we're going to hit you where it hurts in your budget, because many would say that time and time again more of the concessions have had to be made from Israel's side. Now he's forcing the Palestinian side to move towards negotiations. And having said that, last week he said that his big concession to the state of Israel was the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. Right. And now he has to give something to the other side. What that is, what we is don't that? Know. Mm. There's so much speculation. Some people saying, will he give Gaza as a Palestinian state? I don't know if he's in the position to do so, but we wait
the intention,
and see.
Though?
Well, we don't know. What we do know is
But I mean, isn't that why Gaza was given to the Arabs?
Well,
so that they couldn't make a state.
Not necessarily to make a state, so that they can start governing themselves and maybe to start the preparations, perhaps, for a future state. But what we do need, or what the Palestinians would like, is a contiguous state. How that's going to happen, this is one of the many, many, many details that still has to be ironed out, because the two territories, the West Bank and Gaza, are separated by what some refer to as Israel proper. So how to make these two territories contiguous is a great dilemma. And there are some who say, well, maybe we need to have a three-state solution, or maybe a confederation. So there's all kinds of theories and ideas that have been thrown into the pot. All I can tell you is that none of them have come to a conclusion, and we don't have, as we stand, peace.
I'm actually shocked. I always thought that the intention of the Palestinian Authority, or Fatah, well, both of them actually, was that Gaza would be part of a future Palestinian state.
Part of.
That's what we're saying. It has to be contiguous. You have to find some way to bridge the West Bank and Gaza together to have a Palestinian state.
So you're not saying that?
I'm saying what we have now is this kind of dilemma. The intention when we pulled out of Gaza unilaterally was, would we see some kind of movement towards a peaceful solution, and B, the infrastructure or the processes to start planning for a future state. But we have so many different issues that create problems. The internecine fighting, the territories are separated, a lack of will to negotiate certain conditions that neither side are willing to compromise on. So this is why we have this never-ending circle. And now we have the Trump administration coming in and trying out different tactics that we haven't seen before.
Yeah,
it's an absolute total reframing of the entire debate, what they're doing at the moment.
It is a reframing of the debate. And what is very interesting is that we don't have a lot of comment from the international community. I don't know if they're kind of taking it in. They're agreeing to it. They may be saying, you know, let's adopt a wait-and-see policy. But we don't have that much criticism, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
What's worrying me, Rolene, and I don't know if I'm going off tangent here somewhat, but with Trump being so clearly in Israel's camp currently, my fear is that the Israel issue is going to become a partisan instead of a bipartisan issue in the USA. Well, how are Israelis feeling about that?
Great, great comment. I think that we are very, while we are highly appreciative, there are elements, including myself, that we have to prepare for the day after Trump. President Trump has come in, and he is the anti-Obama. He's trying to undo everything that Obama has done. And I think we can't be too confident as Israel and global Jewry. I think that he has, you know, obviously exhibited a bias, which is why the Palestinians don't want to talk to him. But we
the same way that Obama, you know, exhibited his own bias.
His own bias. Yeah. However, if you look at the how receptive America is to Trump, if you look at the opinion around him, if you look at the way the Democratic Party's moving, we in Israel feel that there has to be preparation. In fact, I'm going to a think tank next week when I'm back in Israel, and maybe I'll give you a report back on, you know, what we discussed. The day after Trump, what happens? And that's why it's very, very important for Israel to have very close relations with global Jewry, and especially right now American Jewry, because the relationship is very fractured.
Speaking of American Jewry, did you see that the Pew report was released?
I haven't seen that today. I haven't actually. It's been
46% of American Jews abhor their religion.
Oh, I saw that. I haven't read the entire report, but they don't.
That's a very strong word. Abhor?
Well, they don't. They don't identify along organized religion. Same as the very, very worrying statistic we had a couple of weeks ago, where I think it was about 40% of Americans don't know about the Holocaust or don't believe it happened, and. These relationships are very, very important, which is why, and we have this constant discussion in Israel and in global Jewry, that the diaspora and Israel need to bridge their relationships. And this is why issues like egalitarian prayer and space for egalitarian prayer does become such a contentious issue.
I mean, never before have we seen democratic representatives. I've forgotten the lady's name. She was all over the press last week or the week before, being an avid one-stater, anti-Israel candidate to the House of Representatives.
Yes.
This has become okay.
So these are all the factors that we need to take into consideration when we start talking about the day after Trump. What will happen? Where
does
Israel... Because
he'll probably come in for another 4 years.
He's going to come out after 8 years eventually.
I know, so I think he might have some time.
Through Trump. Yeah. You mean if he's not impeached?
Why would he be impeached?
Oh, my goodness. Doesn't Mr. Shapiro have a bit of dirt on him?
Maybe, maybe not. Who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah, but that's my worry, is that it seems to me that Israel, whilst able to enjoy the support, is becoming quite vulnerable at the same time because
exactly.
of the flip side of that support. And very glad to hear you think tanking about the day after, because it's important.
Yeah, and we're definitely not tanking our thinking. We'll be discussing this in great detail.
Rolene Marks, thank you very, very much. We wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for coming in. It's always fascinating to speak to you. And even better when we are eyeball to eyeball. It's on a different level.
Shabbat
thank
Shalom,
you very,
guys.
Very much. That's Rolene Marks. And that's how we get to the end of a week.
Of course, it's Thursday. It's finished. Gamarnu.
Yeah.
It's over.
All that's left is just to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a wonderful weekend. We'll see you same time, same place Monday. Simon.
Thanks for a great week, Kathy.
Yeah, you made it. You made it.
I did. I came back for more. Happy masochist.
You know, today is a Chazoka. Or was yesterday the Chazoka? No, today is the Chazoka. Today's your third day.
Chazoka.
Chazoka.
I know I'm Jewish and went to Jewish days, but I don't know what a chazoka is.
When you do a mitzvah
yes.
three times, it's considered like a promise. Like, then you got to do it a fourth time, you got to do it. You like
Deal.
To take it on.
I'm in.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Sash. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And we're going to play out with some Nina Simone.